This Monday morning on Wake Up With Hope, we will have an inspiring message from Voice of Prophecy, a delicious recipe from Gia and her clan, another Revelation of Hope episode by Taj Pakhlev, and Doctor's Orders.
Stay with us. Good morning and welcome to Wake Up With Hope. We are delighted to be starting our Monday morning with you. We are thrilled that you have chosen to start your week off with the hope of Jesus.
Yes, and did you know that today is World Hello Day? Hello, world! Well, World Hello Day was started in 1973 by brothers Brian and Michael McCormick as a reaction to the Egypt-Israel conflict. It is observed annually on November 21st and seeks to highlight the importance of effective communication as a way to ensure peace. It emphasizes communication rather than force as a way to resolve conflict, and it hopes for dialogue between disagreeing countries.
This concept can apply to our very own relationships as well. So while we may not be in a position to reach across countries and try to dialogue to make peace, we can reach out to those in our own circles and seek effective communication to be at peace with one another.
Can you imagine the world we would live in if we all practiced learning to listen to one another and reached out to others to make peace with them?
Wow. And it would certainly be a better world. And you and I can start today and make a difference. And what better day than today as the 2022 FIFA World Cup kicks off with 32 different countries. So as a fellow Argentinian, I want to greet all my friends from around the world. But as we continue with today's program, let's take a look back at this day in history.
On this day in history, in 1783, French physician Jean-François Pilatre de Rozier and François Lorraine, the Marquis d'Arland, made the first untethered hot air balloon flight, flying 5.5 miles over Paris in about 25 minutes. Their cloth balloon was crafted by French papermaking brothers Jacques Étienne and Joseph-Michel Montgolfier, inventors of the world's first successful hot air balloon. For time immemorial, humanity has dreamed of flight. Greek mythology tells of Daedalus, who made wings of wax, and Leonardo da Vinci drew designs of flying machines and envisioned the concept of a helicopter in the 15th century. It was not until the 1780s, however, that human flight became a reality. Today we have airplanes, helicopters in many varieties and sizes, hot air balloons, and things like parachuting and hang gliding that are all a common sport. Truly, humanity has come a long way in fulfilling its desire to fly.
You know, we can't deny that there is something exhilarating about being in the open air, feeling free and seemingly invincible. And yet we don't have to take such risks like hang gliding or skydiving to experience this feeling of freedom. In fact, we can actually experience true freedom every single day and feel invincible as we walk with Jesus. You see, he has promised to free us from the weight of sin and the burden of discouragement and disappointment. He has promised something better. And today we can have that right now. All we have to do is trust in him, surrender to him, and follow Jesus every step of the way.
Amen. This morning, Gia and her clan join us to show us how to make a deliciously healthy recipe. Enjoy.
We are making sweet potato enchiladas, and it's going to be a little process, so you've got to bear with us, right? But I'm going to need all that in here, and we're going to start with the sweet potato. This dish is really delicious. It's derived from Minimalist Baker, so if you've never heard of her, she's got awesome recipes online. So we'll start with 3 cups of sweet potato, and you put 1 tablespoon of water, or you can add oil, whatever you like. And you have 1 teaspoon of cumin, 1 teaspoon of smoked paprika, and 1/2 teaspoon of a good salt of any sort, like sea salt or Himalayan. put it in there. And then I just toss it in the, just make sure that all the flavor's gone through, and put it on a baking tray. Make sure they're not touching each other on the baking tray. And you only cook it for about 15 to 20 minutes. And you allow it to sort of maybe caramelize a little bit. So I'm gonna put this in the oven. Great, so now I'm gonna make the filling. So the filling, well, that's part of the filling. I'm gonna use 2 cups of kale with a little bit of water. You just have to steam it, but you need to make sure the colors stay vibrant. So you don't want it to go all yucky, and you want it to stay quite bright. I'm gonna mix it around a bit, and then I'll put the lid on it for a little bit. Yep, that's a special cheese. Don't cheat, okay? Okay, perfect. Now, using the same bowl, we put the rest of the filling in there. So it's 1 can of black beans, 1/4 cup of enchilada sauce, which you can get at any supermarket. Just check the label at the back. Make sure it's not one with lots of oils and all those chemicals and stuff in it. Now, I've bought a cheese here. It's a bio cheese, okay? So I got it from the section in the fridge at the supermarket where you have tofu and like just a few non-dairy, non-meat section. I do like a little bit of this bio cheese. It's a mozzarella bio cheese, but you can get different types. And I've already got the sweet potato, and I've actually added pumpkin to this one. Because at the supermarket, you can buy pumpkin already cut up in cubes. And I thought, you know what, make it easy. I'm just gonna mix the two together. So I'm gonna put that mixture in here. Okay, so mix that through. Okay, let's see how the kale's going. It's looking good. Still looks vibrant in color. It's starting to soften up. All right. And there you've got it. You've got your filling for your enchiladas. And now for the rolling. This is one everyone is going to love. Who doesn't love baked tortillas? Like, yeah. Here. So I'm going to put some of the enchilada sauce down the bottom. And I'm just going to throw that in there and make sure it's got some enchilada sauce on both sides. And I'm going to put some of the filling inside of that. I'm going to add some of the cheese on top. Your fingers will get messy, don't worry about it. Get your kids to help you with this stuff. Like, it's so much fun getting your fingers all dirty and messy. Now, when you're rolling it, make sure when you put it at the end of the dish, right at the end, make sure the folded side is down. So when this is all done, when I've rolled about 10, you just squash these all the way through until you get about 10 there. I will put some enchilada sauce right down the middle, and then I'll bake it in the oven. And once it's baked, we'll come back and have a look at what it looks like. So we're back with our enchiladas, baked enchiladas, sweet potato baked enchiladas. They are looking really delicious. This is the end result. Olive is actually decorating it with some fresh coriander leaves. I've made some guacamole cream, which you can find the recipe for on thetabletv.com or on our social media, The Table TV Show. So let me just pour some of this delicious, delicious cream on top. And if you've got some sunny sour cream, which we made with sunflower seeds, also you'll find that recipe on our website. We serve this individually. We chop up some jalapenos, put some jalapenos on top, some sour cream, and some of the avocado cream. Okay, that is gonna be amazing.
If you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more. And search for us on our YouTube channel to check out what's going on and keep up with us.
We have to take a quick break now, but when we return, we will be featuring a new Reflection of Hope episode.
Welcome back. We hope our program will be a lovely way to start your week.
Have you ever been scuba diving? If so, you know about the one most important rule of scuba diving: don't hold your breath. Whatever happens, just keep breathing. Well, the same is true for spiritual life above the ocean surface. Listen now to this simple and profound life lesson from the scuba world on today's episode of Reflections of Hope with Taj Pakleb.
God's holy word declares that the earth is the Lord's in the fullness thereof. And though marred by sin, creation still speaks of the wisdom, power, and beauty of the Creator. God made nature for us to enjoy, and there's so much to explore on God's green earth. But only in relatively recent times has mankind taken the plunge to explore the deep blue sea. With the invention of scuba diving, came the wonderful possibilities of seeing and studying the underwater world. Scuba diving is probably the only way to visit another world without leaving planet Earth. It's nothing short of spectacular. But with so much heavy gear, it's probably the most cumbersome of all the sports. There are so many things that are vital in order to have a successful dive. You need a mask to see, fins to propel, a wetsuit to keep you warm, a BCD to keep you buoyant, weights to keep you down, a tank that holds your air, a regulator that gives you breath, and all different kinds of computers and gauges to keep you informed so that you don't do anything dangerous. It's super cumbersome, but absolutely worth it. Now, there are many things you need to know before you go scuba diving, but you might find it surprising that the number one and most important rule is simply this: don't hold your breath. Whatever happens, just keep breathing. And as long as you're breathing, you can deal with any difficulty below. You see, the natural instinct of land creatures like us is to hold your breath underwater. So once our head goes below the surface, our mind tells us to stop breathing. And many people find it difficult to overcome this mind block. Not only that, but there's so many spectacular things to see down below that will literally take your breath away. But holding your breath is probably the most dangerous thing you can do. It could lead to a ruptured lung, a panic attack, or an uncontrollable urge to shoot up to the surface, thus causing the bends. And so if you ever get the chance to experience the scuba life, just remember, keep breathing. And as long as you're breathing, you can deal with any difficulty underwater. The same is true for spiritual life above the surface. Prayer is the breath of the soul. And just as we're to breathe without ceasing, the Bible calls us to pray without ceasing. You see, when you breathe, you're both taking in sustaining oxygen as well as releasing the cellular waste product of carbon dioxide. You're receiving that which is good and releasing that which is bad. This is the same thing that prayer does. Prayer is the means with which we receive God's blessings and unload life's burdens. It is the avenue by which we give our problems to God and that God gives us His peace and His power. You see, the purpose of prayer is not to inform God, but rather it is the means by which God transforms us. Many people find life so hard because they're not breathing the breath of prayer. They are spiritually drowning in a sea of sorrow, struggling in an ocean of trouble, when all the while the breath of prayer is right in their mouth. So remember, when life is overwhelming and you feel like you can't keep your head above the water, just keep praying. When finances are low and the bills are high, just keep breathing. When your kids are acting crazy and your spouse is acting lazy, just keep breathing. When the current of your sinful flesh is pulling you into forbidden waters, just keep breathing. Just keep praying. And as you do, God will give you the wisdom and the courage to change the things that you can change. He'll give you the peace and comfort to accept the things that you cannot change. And He'll give you the wisdom to know the difference. And in every single situation, He will bring a change in your heart. And when we come to trust God, both above and below the water, in the highs and in the lows of life, He will show us things we've never seen before. He will do through us things that have never been done before. And He will take us to places no one has ever been before. And finally, one day very soon, we will be able to leave this blue and green planet below to explore the heavenly realities of God's wonderful kingdom. And then we'll be breathing in the very atmosphere of heaven itself. And that, my friends, is a world you surely don't want to miss.
Sad.
What is?
Let's find out as we watch today's Doctor's Orders. After the break, we're going to have today's devotional by Voice of Prophecy.
And don't forget to visit our YouTube page and share us with a friend.
I like living in America. It's a great country.
That's true, but we've given the world some bad health.
What do you mean?
Well, if you look at the standard American diet, it's full of fat, sugar, and salt.
You're right. America has given the world fast food. And eating the standard American diet gives you the standard American diseases like heart disease, cancer, strokes, diabetes.
And those diseases take us to the standard American doctor,
who prescribes the standard American drug which treats the symptoms but not the cause.
That help us to die the standard American death.
So what kind of life does the standard American live?
Sad, 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 sad.
And it all begins with the standard American diet. So if you want to live a more abundant life, then you need to adopt God's original diet from the Garden of Eden. Fruits, grains, nuts, vegetables, and legumes.
But what about the burgers, fries, and Coke?
They'll make you sad. But the Creator's bounty, look at that.
Wow, that makes me glad.
Exactly. So, don't live the sad life, live the glad life. Doctor's orders.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope, friends. Thank you for staying with us. It's time for our devotional thought now, brought to us by our friends at Voice of Prophecy.
Revelation chapter 12 captures a portion of Earth's history, beginning with the birth of Jesus, through our time today. In this chapter, we find vividly portrayed the battle between good and evil and Satan's attempt to destroy Christ and his people. After unsuccessful attempts, the devil turns his attention to God's New Testament church. Maybe he would be more successful there. But that's not to be either. While he can inflict blows, and he does that really well, God steps in and helps the church by providing a wilderness for them to flee to. Enraged, Satan declares war against all believers who are faithful to God from that point until the end of the conflict at the second coming of Christ. While the chapter is a fascinating and exciting read, the verse that stands out to me is the end of verse 17. In this verse, Jesus identifies those that Satan is most angry with as those who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. The same description of God's people is given two chapters later in Revelation 14. After the third angel's message in verses 9 through 11, verse 12 reads, "Here's the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." According to these two references, God's end-time people will be identified through several distinct characteristics: patience, keeping the commandments of God, keeping the faith of Jesus, and having or bearing His testimony. Well, regarding patience, we read in James 1, 2, and 3, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." The takeaway here is that the end-time people will be those who have endured many diverse trials and tribulations, and whose faith has been refined through the fire of these troubles that James refers to as tests. Are you feeling overburdened today? Maybe collapsing under the stress and pressure of life? As difficult as this pill is to swallow, know that through your struggles, God is growing your faith, and that this will result in the patience of the saints. What about the faith and testimony of Jesus, you might ask? In a favorite story of mine found in Luke 24, the Bible records that two disciples were on their way home when Jesus came up on them. They were so engaged in their conversation, disappointed in the crucifixion and death of Christ just a couple of days earlier, and perplexed regarding stories of Jesus' resurrection, that they did not notice the very one they were conversing about walked with them. After inquiring what they were speaking about, Jesus gave them a Bible study about himself throughout all of Scripture. No doubt, one of the best studies on Christology that any human has ever had the privilege to hear. When they arrived at their destination, they invited him in for the night. He obliged, then revealed himself to them at dinner, but immediately disappeared. Listen to their response in verse 32. "Did not our heart burn within us while we talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?" Jesus taught or testified to them about himself, and it was that which caused their hearts to burn. In John 5:39, Jesus said, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." So the faith of Jesus and the testimony of Jesus is the holistic word of God, especially that which relates directly to Christ and what he has done for us. The end time people will believe in Jesus as their personal savior and be so excited that they can't keep Jesus to themselves, but will instead tell everyone they come in contact with about the beauty of Christ. And finally, there's the part of keeping the commandments. Well, this could be a long conversation, and maybe we can look at other parts of the commandments some other time. Suffice it to say that God's end time people find keeping God's law a delight. To many, the law of God is like a chain around their neck, prohibiting them from doing as they please. But for the Christian, the law of God is a blessing, and keeping it, well, that's pure joy. So if you ever thought God's laws were not that important, Revelation 12 and 14 disagree. Keeping His law is one of the markers of the true end-time faithful people. But this morning, I'd like to look at one law that stood out to me a few days ago and that I spoke about in a previous Wake Up with Hope devotional. It's Exodus 20, verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who take his name in vain. Now, upon quick glance, that appears to be related to using God's name in profane and disrespectful ways. And if that's the conclusion that you have come to, I'm in full agreement. I believe that many, including Christians, are quick to insert God's name in phrases and situations that have nothing to do with God. It's a custom in our country to use God's name in expressions of unbelief or excitement or surprise. But when we stop to think about it, the use of His name is superfluous and just gives us something to say. This mindless use of the name of God is something that we should thoughtfully ponder and remember that we are talking about the God of the universe here. The same God that spoke worlds into existence, hung the stars, and breathed into us the breath of life. Unfortunately, there's more respect afforded to human beings than given to God. But beyond the very loose use of God's name, there's something deeper that stands out to me in the third commandment. It's the taking of the name of God. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, God says that His people are called by His name. And in John 17, in Christ's longest recorded prayer, Jesus said, "I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world." This concept of the name of God is not to be taken lightly. In Genesis 1, God created man in His express image. Another way to look at this is that man was created in the name of God. We were His children bearing His resemblance, name, and character. In Genesis 3, we rejected the name of God and consequently brought upon ourselves the curse of death. Exodus 20, verse 7 is a warning to those who would take the name of God but not take His patience, faith, and testimony. Now, you might be raising your eyebrow right now and asking, "What are you talking about, preacher?" Well, it's simply this. There are many who profess to be Christians, but they are so only in name or outward appearance. They have not accepted the call to carry the cross and follow Christ. They like to walk the walk and talk the talk. They enjoy appearances at church and volunteering for this or that. But deep down in their hearts, they are far from the Lord. These are those that in Matthew 7:22 will say, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?" And God will respond to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." These folks are the ones that took the name of God in vain. Or another way to say this would be that in vain they took upon themselves the name of God. In vain they called themselves Christians. And to those God says He will not hold guiltless. Do you want to be a part of the end time saints? Here's a little counsel. Be thankful for the trials. Keep the word of God burning in your heart. And don't waste the precious name that God has given you. Let me pray. Father in heaven, thank you for giving us your name. Help us to be faithful as we take your name to all the world. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you, friends, for joining us at Wake Up with Hope. Until next time, God bless.
Thank you so much for that thoughtful devotional.
And thank you for joining us today and watching Wake Up with Hope. If you would like to learn more about our program, share with a friend, please please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And we invite you to join us tomorrow morning. Jesus 101 will be with us to share a morning devotional thought. We will have a dedicated prayer session and another recipe from the Good Food Kitchen. And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and would like to learn more, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
You know, we've been hearing back from people who have used these Bible studies, and this has helped them to understand Scripture in a much deeper way. So you'll be blessed. Again, that's hope.study. And before we go, we want to share with you a Bible promise that you will be able to carry all through your day. Today's Bible promise comes from Psalms chapter 132, verse 15.
It says, I will bless her with abundant provisions. Her poor I will satisfy with food.
You know, friend, the Lord is faithful, and He will bless you abundantly. Take that promise to heart today.
Amen. We hope that you were blessed by today's program, and we can't wait to see you tomorrow.
Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord. Our cup is full and it runs over. Thank you so much, Lord, that you've blessed us richly today. And we ask that as we go throughout the day, that you would guard our hearts and keep your word deep within. And Father, bring people into our lives that we can share joy with. Because we're so full right now, we can't wait to be able to share good news with somebody that you bring into our life today. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.